The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. He has showed thee, O mortal, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? I vividly remember hearing this timeless passage from Micah, broadcast around the world 40 years ago. Our 39th president had just taken the oath of office and used this scripture to frame the course of his presidency. He said that he hoped that when his time as president ended, that people might say this about our nation, that we had remembered the words of Micah and renewed our search for humility, mercy, and justice. I've watched every inauguration since 1961 and have listened to the hopes and dreams set forth for our nation by 11 different presidents. But the inauguration of our 39th president was especially meaningful to me because a month earlier, I too had taken an oath to serve my country, and the words of Micah immediately became transfixed in my mind, my heart, and my soul. Those words not only frame my approach to government service, but directly impacted my life by emphasizing the basic core values of God. To do justice, always striving to do the right thing. To love kindness, constantly choosing mercy, goodness, and helping others. And to walk humbly with thy God, acknowledging each day and moment that all life is dependent on the love and grace of the Lord. All of our scripture lessons today emphasize the basic core values of God, which is quite appropriate for two reasons. First, immediately following this service, we will be holding our annual meeting, which is all about the basics of our parish mission, programs, budget, staffing, and our hopes and dreams for serving God in the world. Second, last Sunday in her sermon, Mother Paula challenged each of us to upgrade and stretch our own spiritual operating system. However, before we can upgrade, we have to make sure that we have the basics down, which brings us to our gospel lesson for today. This passage, which is commonly known as the Beatitudes, marks the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the first of five long discourses by Jesus found in Matthew's gospel. One of my biblical commentaries characterized this sermon as Jesus' inaugural address, in which Jesus lays out his vision of life in the kingdom of heaven. To underscore the importance of what Jesus is about to say, Matthew writes that Jesus went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. In the Bible, God is often encountered in the mountains. Moses met God on Mount Sinai, and Jesus took three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, up to a high mountain by themselves where they witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus. The fact that Jesus sat down emphasizes the importance of what he is about to teach his disciples. In fact, teaching his disciples is paramount to Jesus. For learning who Jesus is simultaneously reveals who we are. Therefore, being a disciple of Jesus means that we are always learning, growing, and stretching. Jesus is our daily teacher. We are the consummate student, and this is an ongoing assignment. What Jesus is about to preach in this discourse is not a set of rules for worldly success, but is instead a glimpse at the rules that govern the kingdom. The good news is that the kingdom of God is right here among us. Three times in Matthew's gospel, Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom of God is at hand. We do not have to wait for eternity to see God's kingdom. All we have to do is accept God in our lives. Jesus said, "For where two or three have gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." So in effect, Jesus' disciples then and now live with one foot in this world and one foot in God's kingdom. In the Beatitudes, Jesus stands our world on its head. He describes a mirror image world where everything seems backwards, where the poor are blessed rather than the rich, and where the meek inherit the earth. So why did Jesus begin his inaugural sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with the Beatitudes? Well, during my school years and throughout my career, I learned that when writing reports or giving speeches, it was key to lead with your most important point instead of burying it in your text. By leading with the Beatitudes, Jesus wanted his disciples, then and now, to know that the Beatitudes are important to our living, to how we approach each and every day. Through the Beatitudes, Jesus reminds all of his disciples that God blesses them. And not only that, Jesus wants his disciples to feel that they are blessed. Yes, we are blessed, and Jesus wants us to know that from the beginning. Being blessed is not just for the sake of potential joy and happiness, but also for the sake of making it through that which will be difficult. Through those hard and challenging times in our lives where we really need to feel God's blessing, God's love, and God's everlasting arms holding us close and lifting us up so we can make it through the day and then get out of bed the next morning. The first four Beatitudes, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, describe the heart of the person who is rightly related to God. The remaining Beatitudes, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted, are descriptors of how such a person relates to other people around them. Jesus did not just talk the talk, he walked the walk. He modeled and lived the Beatitudes every single day. We see Jesus as a servant. He said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus is meek. For Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is mournful. Jesus wept. Jesus grieves for the world as it is, but not for the world as it shall be. Jesus is merciful. A blind man by the name of Bartimaeus shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus replied, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Yes, in the midst of darkness, Jesus is the light of our world and has shown us the way. Our task is to strive to be Christ-like. By modeling Jesus' behavior and approach to each day, we will master the basics and so doing make us completely open to God's love and will. There are 9 different Beatitudes, and all are important. But if you think about it, the first Beatitude is foundational. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If we are in sync with this Beatitude, we will be in sync with all of them. However, if we are out of sync with this Beatitude, we will be out of sync with all of them. Biblical commentaries state that the Greek word that is translated poor is ptochos. Ptochos means abject poverty. True poverty is a cruel thing. It breaks people. Poor people suffer. Confronted with their own helplessness, the poor know the difference that even a small act of kindness can make. The poor watch eagerly for a gesture or a glance that might promise help. The poor long for a bit of kindness. The poor crave a bit of dignity. Standing before God, the poor in spirit are like that. They bring nothing in their hands that God needs and nothing in their hearts that compels God to accept them. This isn't easy. We are a prideful people. We have egos. We like to be right, and we like to be in charge. Yet it is when we realize that God ultimately is the one in charge and surrender our self-righteousness and all of our baggage and all of our brokenness to God that we are open to receive God's blessings and to truly serve God. God blesses us when we come to God with empty hands, bowing before the throne of God's grace, ready to receive whatever blessing that God chooses to give us, ready to follow in whatever path God chooses to lead us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, not will be, but is the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, he has showed thee, O mortal, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen.